Austin, our...
Yes, guys. So, speaking of TeslaReporter.com, okay, check it out, www.TeslaReporter.com. EV news. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but this company, Triton, has announced the Model H SUV. They're out of New Jersey. Not that that's important. I'm leading with that they're out of New Jersey, so you don't expect that you have to trust them at all. And they are saying that this SUV is an 8-seater with 700 miles of electric range on a 200 kilowatt hour battery. It looks very much like the biggest Chevy, the biggest Cadillac you could buy, but with a slightly different front end, some little LED lights. And I am honestly shocked to see that it has been reported on, taken seriously. I have seen some dissenting opinions. I can't remember where someone said this is a scam. And I'm kind of thinking of it as the Escobar folding phone of cars. And it's kind of shocking. I don't know if anyone has, if Ben, have you seen it? Alex, have you seen it?
Yeah, I had a look. It's insane. I think it's a scam. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, 700 miles range or whatever it was. That's crazy.
It just doesn't seem to add up.
No, from me. No.
And they're asking for $140,000 deposit within the first 5 days of ordering, mind you, via bank transfer.
That doesn't sound trustworthy. That sounds as though, oh yeah, wow, it does really look like an Escalade. It sounds as though the thing is Tesla do this. They give you all these miraculous features, incredible, like the Cybertruck, incredible range and incredible design, really cool features, and they go, oh, actually, can we just have a deposit? And then what a lot of people have said, there are countless books on it. I can't remember any at the moment, but there's one book, I'll try and find it, that basically they're just, you know, they're kind of promising you this, and then they get the deposit money, and using that money, they go, okay, now we can actually build it. And it's become possibly, obviously we don't know for sure, this is all just rumors and this is an idea, but it's possibly become their business model. And to be honest, it's working for Tesla because they're valued at however much, you know, incredible, an incredible value for such a small company, really. But you kind of trust Tesla because they've got this massive portfolio. Well, I say massive, they've got a portfolio of cars and they've been very successful. But with a new, how long have Triton been around? Not long, surely.
Yeah, it's a solar company, reportedly.
Right. Okay.
They've not made any cars that I'm aware of.
I'd pay a deposit on a car I really wanted from a brand that had released cars prior. But I'd at least need to see it in the flesh and see it work before that.
So, and there's something with $100 deposit that you might have paid on a Cybertruck that you can see they're bolstering credibility with this outlandish design, but it's $100. It's fully refundable. Yeah. I'm sure you didn't have to go to a bank and transfer it in any way. You know, importantly, it's to the point with me, and no offense if you're from New Jersey. My godmother's from New Jersey, as far as I know. I would trust Mini Cooper full of clowns more than I would trust a company from New Jersey at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a ridiculously large deposit. That's the one thing that makes me think, oh, they're using the deposit to actually fund the car in the first place, if they're even going to produce the car.
And they've doubled all the numbers. You can tell that they've taken 100 kilowatt from a Model S and they go 200 kilowatts.
Yeah.
That'd be 800 miles, I'm sure. And it would not. You can't just add an Escalade on top of a Model S.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's really strange. It's really strange. I don't think it's that attractive either. And why has it got a hood vent? There's no cooling.
Yeah, that's got to be...
There's no engine to cool.
Or, it's got to be a useless feature.
Yeah, it's just more drag.
It's like an exhaust.
Yeah, it's just more drag, and that makes me think, oh, they actually don't know what they're doing. But,
no.
I mean...
And even if it was like in 5 years, they go, oh, when we're going to have a 2024 Triton Model H, and this is what its specs are going to be. Okay, who are you working with?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm just going through the specs now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so base model, $140,000. It just seems stupid. It just seems ridiculous. It's all so dreamy.
Oh, a 1,500 horsepower is a thing that I'm reading about it now.
Yeah.
1,500? What is it, a Bugatti?
Yeah.
It's just about
1,000 horsepower for the base model. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I mean, you know, you can
pretty believe, sweet.
Okay. Well, I think I believe it if I see a test car. You know, like Rimac. You know, no one really kind of believed Rimac when they came out with the C1 or when they revealed the idea of the C1, but then they were like, here's the car, look how cool it is. It actually goes. And they did the same thing with the C2. And we go, actually, you know what? I trust them because they've got, you know, they kind of put everything on a plate and go, there you go. This is what we've got so far.
Yeah.
This is just digital photos or renders, you know, and some numbers. I think that's something with the auto industry that we really need to watch out for with everything, because, you know, we find the press release or we find an article and go, oh, that's true. Because it's a press release or an article. Like all the 300 mile an hour cars, what was it last year? Every automaker was like, we're going to make a car that's going to go 300 mile an hour. Okay. There are like five of you who are going to be apparently producing the fastest car in the world. And I think one of them have done it. One of them's done it so far. And then even that was only in one direction. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
aim for the stars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, where's it going to end with stuff like top speed? Like 300 miles an hour seems like a good point to maybe just put it to bed. But in 20, 30, 40 years, are we going to be like, oh, Volkswagen, their new Golf goes 1,000 miles an hour? Is it like, is that going to be a thing?
Yeah.
It'll be like Cowboy Bebop. We'll be flying, landing in wherever we want, but then also flying into space.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
There's still cars on highways, but we are perfectly capable of flying wherever we need to go. Maybe the
new Vauxhall Astra. You can get to the moon and back in half an hour. Like it's getting crazy. But I mean, I am excited to see where like battery technology does go. I mean, obviously, when it gets to the point, obviously, I think that's a load of rubbish, that car. But you know, when it can get to like ranges of 700. Miles, you know, that's the game changer, isn't it? Because you can do long distance journeys, and you're not going to do probably 700 miles in one sitting, are you? That's just crazy. So you are going to be able to charge it up and all this sort of stuff. But then again, it depends on how fast the charging is as well, because if it's such a big battery that it takes 3 days to charge, that brings it straight back to being not workable again. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the technology kind of goes from there, really. But if they can achieve that, that's going to change the game. But I don't think they will somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's holding back this country, England or, you know, the UK as a whole, is just the infrastructure. You know, I mean, for the majority of people, a Model 3, Nissan Leaf, they've all got perfect range. You know, they're all perfectly fine. The performance, who really cares about performance? You know, electric cars give you incredible torque. You know, the Leaf, would you say your Leaf is stupidly slow?
Hard opposite. When you take it out of that eco mode, you have so much fun. To me, it's my favorite sleeper, because I don't feel like I'm ever going to get pulled over in a baby blue Nissan Leaf.
Exactly. Definitely. You know, and people, a lot of people are saying, you know, oh, well, wouldn't do without a V8, or, you know, I want a turbo. But I bet you they haven't felt the surge of an all-electric powertrain. That it's just incredible, and it's a completely different experience to anything fuel-driven. But the thing gone.
Sorry, I was just going to say I've never, you know, experienced it personally. So it's, you know, it'd be interesting to hear how it's different and all this sort of stuff, because, you know, I've just never had the opportunity to be in a Tesla or a Leaf or anything. It's interesting.
Well, you just never know.
London. You should start from the bottom, I think, and really try one of the early generations of Leafs. And again, take it out of eco mode. Understand that it only goes 70 miles on a charge or something. And then once you experience that and realize, despite all the caveats that are true with those early models, it's still fantastic. And then in your mind, you go, oh, it's been a decade. and they've gotten now the rate of improvement is online with like computers or televisions as opposed to steam engines.
Definitely.
That's interesting.
It's amazing because
I mean,
the first electric car I drove was the VW e-Golf. And you know, it was kind of like the one electric car that personally I thought bridged the gap between petrol normal cars and electric cars, because it looked so similar. There was just, I think the only difference was like a blue strip across the front, and the interior was the same. And it was all, you know, it didn't have a load of technology like, you know, autonomous driving and whatnot. There was nothing to really scare you, especially, you know, I know a lot of maybe the older generations are quite intimidated by all the technology. And you put your foot down one of those, and because it's just a Golf, you know, I know the GTIs are really quick, but because it's just a Golf, it just, it really surprises you. But the one thing that's really holding this country back is just the charging network. You know, the government isn't putting the money into it. And because of that, people are never going to be able to trust that they'll be able to charge their car in time or get to, you know, get to where they're going. They'll always have that thing. If they're buying a car, they'll always go, yeah, but will I be able to charge it? Like I can just fill up a car. And, you know, it's the charging network and the education. People just don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, we were talking off camera about Zipcar and stuff like that. And they've got e-Golfs now available.
They're great.
So
nice.
That would be something interesting to try. I mean, I think it's like £6 an hour to rent it, which is insane, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, you should look it up and do it right after this. You should go take a $6 little whip around in an e-Golf.
Yeah,
shall I look it up now? I've got the app on my phone. So we'll have a look. But for anyone who doesn't know, Zipcar is this kind of crazy thing where, for example, in London, these cars are parked all over London and you can reserve your car, whether it's a week in advance or a few minutes in advance. And the way you unlock your car is you get your phone, get the app up, and you pop it on the windshield like that. And it magically unlocks the car and the keys are in the glove box. And it's just the most insane kind of thing. But they've got all sorts now. It sort of started off with just having like Ford Fiestas and some sort of Hyundai i30, I think, or something along those lines. And now it's sort of really gone into the kind of e-Golf, as you say. But also you can get your Mercedes A-Class and Audi A3s and all that sort of stuff. But let's have a look and see what we've got, shall we? Select location, just all car types.
Well, you kind of look at that. Speaking of Hyundai, man, they've recently shown off their newest, that Prophecy. They're actually going to make that. I'm having a knock on the door.
Oh, my God.
this is like that thing, where, remember, where the guy's kids come running in the room?
Yes, and they get dragged out.
Oh, don't worry about it, man. I fixed it.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Dude.
The e-Golf is £9 per hour, sorry.
Nine
still not bad though, is it?
Still not bad. Because that's a good car. No. Those are great cars.
I'll have to give it a go. There's one a 7-minute walk away from here right now.
Oh, do it. Do it. Definitely do it.
Might have to be done.
No, it's an even shorter run.
Yeah, that's it.
I should have been faster than you guys, my bad.
No worries. No worries. What were we saying?
The Prophecy. The Hyundai Prophecy.
Yeah.
And the 45. I love this trend of automakers showing these outlandish concepts. And I was conditioned to expect if you show me a concept, I'll never see that. So,
yeah.
Why are you showing me these concepts? And then lately, I believe it's because of EVs having these skate motor trains that you can just plop new bodies on top of. They're like, yeah, why not? This got hot reception. And I think that started with the Cybertruck.
Yeah. I think manufacturers have suddenly seen that, oh, actually, you know what? We can create these crazy designs. And as long as they get enough people liking them. I mean, the Prophecy looks incredible. And so does the 45. But it's suddenly gone, oh, actually, you know what? Rules don't apply anymore. We can do whatever we want. And I love that.
Totally. Definitely. with the Cybertruck, you know, I'm sure everyone did, but when I first saw the photos of it, I was like, well, that's a joke. You know, it's not going to be a real car, but it is. And it's, you know, I can't wait to see them. And it'll be one of those things. Like, do you remember that kind of period of time where Tesla was sort of this thing you were hearing about, and you got it more over in the States than you did in the UK. And then suddenly, like, bang, they were just everywhere. Yeah. And I can imagine that with Cybertrucks, they'll be the new, you know, Nissan Juke or whatever, yeah, like the new 4x4 everyone's driving. But I can't wait to see one in the flesh and just sort of see what it's like on the interior as well and all this sort of stuff. There's all sorts of, like, I mean, I'm not too in tune with the Cybertruck, really. I mean, I'm really interested by it, but you hear so much news about it, you're just not sure what to take as truth and not. Like, apparently it's bulletproof. What's that?
Is it bulletproof? Yeah. Yeah, there was a little bit of conjecture there because, you know, they have such a short news cycle. I mean, like, adversarial news cycle, which is getting some opposition now. But he said that the body, the cold rolled steel body, could take a 9mm bullet. Granted, that's not an AK-47 bullet. And then, almost without skipping a breath, he goes in to talk about how the glass is super strong glass and that you could throw a metal ball at it. We all know how that went.
Yeah.
People combined the two and started saying the whole thing was bulletproof. No, it's just the steel's pretty hard.
Yeah.
You can still shoot through the glass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the thing is as well, you know, I can't remember what they call it. They have a specific name for the glass, don't they? But I was reading up on it and, you know, loads of professionals looked at it and went, it's supposed to do that. It's supposed to take the impact of the bullet and spread it across the glass. And that's why it smashed. It's designed to do that. Look at normal bulletproof glass on, like, government limos. If it gets shot, it smashes, but it doesn't go through. And that's the difference.
No.
It doesn't. Which also, importantly, not the glass.
Oh, really?
Really? I didn't know that.
No, I don't know if, sorry, if something was lost in translation. I mean, the glass isn't supposedly bulletproof. The steel is.
Yeah.
But then the glass is like, they were calling the glass like metal glass or something. They had they didn't have a crazy name for it.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, you know, they said it was like test right before they wheeled it out so that weakened it and it had hairline fractures or something. Armored glass. But yeah, throw a big metal bearing like that at a regular car windshield.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And it caused some damage.
In America, you get trucks get broken into very regularly because people assume that they'll have a gun. So to me, if you have sentry mode and that kind of glass, might be better for keeping your gun safe or not getting broken into if you don't have a gun regardless.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of an interesting angle.
Yeah.
What's sentry mode?
So sentry mode is in all the Teslas right now where when you walk away, it uses all of the cameras that are built in for, you name it, every self-driving and all that stuff to act as a security system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are numbers, any levels, sort of incident. So you've got like it kind of it's basically to be used as a deterrent, but also to make it known that someone's messing with the car. So I think the first level, I can't remember, they all have names, but the first level is basically it's watching you. The second level, if you go close to it and touch it or like maybe lean on it, then I think the lights flash. And then if you go even further and start to really mess with the car, it'll turn on the media. You know, the music and everything will go full volume and the lights will go crazy. But a lot of people are saying that actually that draws the wrong attention. And when the cars start doing that, they, you know, it's more likely to be seen by people and then damaged. So I think recently people have asked, Elon Musk specifically, because he's so active on Twitter, to make it like to make them a silent version, and he's actually going to do it. It's incredible. How often do you hear of a CEO specifically taking demands from the customer? I know a lot of people don't like Elon Musk, but you've got to give him that. Like, he is one hell of a, I don't know, he's just innovated the whole process of owning a business.
He's incredible. I think he's great. I mean, I watched the podcast with Joe Rogan and Elon Musk, and you know, it's just like he's almost like kind of weirdly like robotic with how he sort of comes across. I don't know if you've noticed that, but like he's very analytical, I think. So like you'll ask him a question and he'll sort of sit there for like a good 30 seconds silently and just sort of work out what he wants to say. And then it sort of shows almost his genius, in my opinion, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, you're talking about the Tesla and stuff. There's so many sort of nooks and crannies almost in what like, a lot of the consumers don't have any idea that their Tesla can do. You know, he's talking about how if you fall asleep at the wheel, it will take over and it will slowly pull you over and then it will sort of start speaking to you to wake you up and all these crazy stuff. And didn't they not realize ludicrous mode was a thing for a little while or something, or that got was an update really? Or something? I can't remember. I don't know. I mean, I'm just talking from my memory of watching this podcast months ago. But I mean, he's just an incredible.
They're always updating.
Yeah, are they? It's a bit like a phone, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, so it's over the air updates, OTA updates, and they will just because the car already has the hardware. And it's already got everything built into it. They can just basically turn things on if they go, you know, if they think they've now perfected a piece of software, they'll just go upload, and the car can now do something crazy or whatever. Well, you know, like read
that's so interesting.
It's
yeah, exactly.
It's
and well, I was writing an article about the driverless taxis he's promised by the end of the year or whatever, and that mentioned in the, I'm not sure that's going to happen. They were talking about how when the self-driving technology is available, it will just update to your Tesla, you know, and it's not like you get with an iPhone where they add a new feature and most times you have to buy the new phone to get it, which they could have easily done. It's actually, you know, they've sort of prepared the cars for that eventuality and the car will continue to grow as the brand does, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they can even improve range and performance. It's ridiculous. And there's been, you know, countless times where they've just gone, here's another 10 miles of range because they've got, you know, they've made the powertrain more efficient in some way or, you know, whatever. But, oh, it's incredible. It's incredible
a lot of it, they've been testing, like, the batteries. And this is a big thing between the Taycan and the Model S and the Tesla range is when you are putting a battery pack together, you don't necessarily want people to drain the battery or charge it fully because that's what's bad for lithium ion batteries. So they use around 20% dead space in the pack so that when you charge it or rapid charge it all the way, it has a little buffer zone. And those cells might be disabled for later use. In case you have cells go bad, they can just kind of software plug in other good cells. The Taycan does it a little bit more conservatively. So that's why they tout, like, you can run it hard, put it up wet, back and forth, back and forth. They've had a big buffer. And because of that, they have lower range. But now these Teslas, like, they still have a buffer there. And when they have to evacuate, say, a forest fire or a hurricane, they can over the air say, let's not worry so much about that buffer. Let's let people get away.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's amazing. That's awesome, isn't it? I can't believe that. It's insane. It's, I mean, it's just so clever. They are incredibly clever cars, and I would love to have one day. And it's just, I like the idea of instead of my sat-nav screen being like this, I want it like a massive iPad. And apparently, once you've owned one and you've gotten used to that, getting into a normal car with your kind of small, few-inch sort of sat-nav screen, it just apparently feels horrible. Apparently, it completely changes the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were the first company. Sorry, go on.
I'm sorry we're working with this delay. Would you guys rather have a vehicle, though, that no one else you knew personally had?
Yes.
Because I think that's what's holding back Tesla right now is every day I see Model 3s. And when the Y comes out, it'll dilute it. But I don't know if I'm so into having the longer four-door version or the chunkier version of the car that I see everybody have. And the Cybertruck, for me, represents something controversial enough that at least I would know I'd be getting under some people's skin with a really cool and different car. But if the parking lot was full of them, would you cancel your subscription? Or
it loses its magic a bit, doesn't it, if you're constantly seeing them? I found that with in the UK for sure with the Jaguar F-Pace, the 4x4. You know, when it first got released, I thought like, that is one of my favourite sort of SUVs out at the moment. But now, literally, you just see them everywhere. Like they're just everywhere, and it kind of does lose its magic, doesn't it? Like, I completely get what you're saying. So, yeah, I think I'd rather something a little different that you don't see 10 times whenever you get in your car, you see the same car.
Yeah, right? definitely. Yeah, I think something else that is putting off a lot of potential Tesla customers is the fact that the Tesla fan base are really, really big fans. Like, they will, it's Tesla or nothing to quite a few people. And I think, you know, like Chris Harris from Top Gear, he said he was going to buy a Model 3, but he couldn't get over the fact, he knew for a fact, when he went to charge, when he would go to charge his car, he'd be bombarded by people just going, it's the best car you've ever driven, isn't it? And he's like, no, no, it's great, but it's not the best. But anyway, we've got just over 9 minutes left. So we really need to get to the bit. I know it's gone so quickly.
It has.
It's gone ridiculously fast. We need to get to the big news that everyone's waiting for. The Grand Tour. The news that is going to get the views. That's how I'm going to refer to it from now on.
So, I mean, with the Grand Tour, I mean, Clarkson said, didn't he, they're about 2 weeks away. Technically, they think they could get it finished in 2 weeks. It was 94% done, I think is what he said. And then it's ready for Amazon, and then it's probably going to have its post-production and all that kind of stuff done to it. So you could say at least a month, month and a half away. But we noticed today, didn't we, that a certain Mr. Willman interview had been taken down off Drive Tribe, which could mean one of two things, right? It could either mean it's closer than we expect or further away. So what do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, it could have been taken down for a number of reasons. They might just want to delay everything. Maybe they've got some good videos going out and they just want to delay, you know, they want to make the most out of what they've got at the moment. Or one of them has said something, and it could be that Amazon's gone, you know, actually, can you not say that now? We kind of, maybe the news they've actually given us is wrong, and Amazon's wanting to do it much later, or maybe, you know, maybe they've figured out that you know, they can send off what they've got at the moment and Amazon's happy with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But something's definitely amiss.
It's probably, it seemed like it was, you know, Drive Tribe is obviously kind of a thing from, I think it's Jeremy Clarkson started Drive Tribe, didn't he? And, you know, he probably didn't have much permission to discuss the release date. You know, it's like, you know, there's many executives and all this sort of stuff over at Amazon who will make decisions based on, you know, when streaming numbers, like, you can imagine if they think, right, lockdowns are going to finish, you know, in the next however many months or whatever, you know, streaming numbers may drop significantly. So they might think, right, well, let's wait until the winter when everyone's back inside and stuff like this. There's so many different factors you've got to consider. But I guess the pertinent point is we don't know.
I mean,
and they were pretty conservative too. They went ahead and said, like, we will be done in 2 to 3 weeks, but Amazon could have it for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So if they were on the early side of that, then why would they take it down? Because it's such a wide window.
Yeah. And they'd want to promote it. You know, can you imagine if they let out that information and websites like us get a hold of it? How many clicks? You know, so many people would see that news and be so excited, and they'd be waiting on Amazon like this. They'd just be like waiting with a control in hand. So I think they're going to push it back. I wonder if they're going to push it back till Christmas, because it's going to be a special episode. You know, they're only doing two episodes, both being specials this season. I have a horrible feeling they're going to push it back till Christmas, so it can be another watch with your family moment.
Yeah.
I could see summer.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's Madagascar, which I like. Can we say that? Have no impression of Madagascar whatsoever, really. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, there's a cartoon that was kind of poorly made, I'll say. But are there even roads in Madagascar? Is there a city in Madagascar?
I don't know. Have you seen the cars they're using?
No, I don't think so.
So we did an article 6 months ago, and they're using 3 modified cars. I'm going to talk really quickly because we've got 6 minutes left. They're using I think they're using an Aerial Nomad with big off-road tires, a Bentley GT Continental with Caterpillar tracks, and one more is it a Ford Focus RS with something a Ford Focus it's Ford Focus RS with Caterpillar tracks and a Bentley GT Continental with massive off-road tires. So they're going off-road.
So whose car is who? Do we know? Should we guess?
Clarkson's the Bentley.
Yeah.
Hammond is the Aerial Nomad.
Probably, right?
And
May stuck with the Ford.
May's the Ford. Yeah, I'm pretty
but
sure.
But if the Ford has right. Caterpillar tracks, I would guess it'd be Hammond. That seems like a Hammond kind of thing. May would not put Caterpillar tracks on something.
That's a good point.
No.
I'll have to find out.
What would we be driving? Like, I'd personally like to take the Bentley, but I'm sure I'll be fighting both of you off.
I'd probably go Nomad. I like the Nomad. I think it's cool.
That's fine. I'd take the tracks. I was unaware that Madagascar even had...
Hello, it's me again. Thank you so much for listening to the GTN podcast. Now, for the advertising bit, please make sure you follow us on social media. Facebook, you can find us at Grand Tour Nation. Twitter is at Grand Tour Nation. And Instagram is at Grand_Tour_Nation. But more importantly, please find our website at www.grandtournation.com. Thanks so much for listening. See you soon.
Welcome back to the GTN podcast. I hope you enjoyed your biscuit. We rambled on about a lot of stuff, and I actually can't remember what we talked about. But we're now coffeed up. Cheers. Let's talk about something new. Austin.
Yes, guys. So, speaking of TeslaReporter.com, okay, check it out, www.TeslaReporter.com, EV news. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but this company, Triton, has announced the Model H SUV. They're out of New Jersey. Not that that's important. Just I'm leading with that they're out of New Jersey, so you don't expect that you have to trust them at all. And they are saying that this SUV is an 8-seater with 700 miles of electric range on a 200 kilowatt hour battery. It looks very much like the biggest Chevy, the biggest Cadillac you could buy, but with a slightly different front end, some little LED lights. And I am honestly shocked to see that it has been reported on, taken seriously. I have seen some dissenting opinions, I can't remember where someone said this is a scam. And I'm kind of thinking of it as the Escobar folding phone of cars. And it's kind of shocking. I don't know if anyone, if Ben, have you seen it? Alex, have you seen it?
Yeah, I had a look. It's insane. I think it's a scam. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, 700 miles range or whatever it was. That's crazy.
It just doesn't seem to add up.
No, from me. No.
And they're asking for $140,000 deposit within the first 5 days of ordering, mind you, via bank transfer.
That doesn't sound trustworthy. That sounds as though, oh yeah, wow, it does really look like an Escalade. It sounds as though the thing is Tesla do this. They give you all these miraculous features. Incredible range, like the Cybertruck, incredible range and incredible design. Really cool features, and they go, oh, actually, can we just have a deposit? And then what a lot of people have said, there are countless books on it. I can't remember any at the moment, but there's one book, I'll try and find it, that basically they're just, you know, they're kind of promising you this, and then they get the deposit money, and using that money, they go, okay, now we can actually build it. And it's become possibly, obviously we don't know for sure, this is all just rumors and this is an idea, but it's possibly become their business model. And to be honest, it's working for Tesla because they're valued at however much, you know, incredible, an incredible value for such a small company, really. But you kind of trust Tesla because they've got this massive portfolio. Well, I say massive. They've got a portfolio of cars and they've been very successful. But with a new... How long have Triton been around? Not long, surely.
Yeah, it's a solar company, reportedly.
Right, okay.
They've not made any cars. That's it, isn't it?
I'd pay a deposit on a car I really wanted from a brand that had released cars prior. But I'd at least need to see it in the flesh and see it work before that.
So, and there's something with a $100 deposit that you might have paid on a Cybertruck that you can see they're bolstering credibility with this outlandish design, but it's $100. It's fully refundable. Yeah. I'm sure you didn't have to go to a bank and transfer it in any way. Yes. You know,
exactly.
Importantly, It's to the point with me, and no offense if you're from New Jersey. My godmother's from New Jersey, as far as I know. I would trust a Mini Cooper full of clowns more than I would trust a company from New Jersey at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a ridiculously large deposit. That's the one thing that makes me think, oh, they're using the deposit to actually fund the car in the first place, if they're even going to produce the car.
And but they've doubled all the numbers. You can tell that they've taken 100 kilowatt from a Model S, and they go 200 kilowatts.
Yeah.
That'd be 800 miles, I'm sure. And it would not. You can't just add an Escalade on top of a Model S.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's really strange. It's really strange. I don't think it's that attractive either. And why has it got a hood vent? There's no cooling.
Yeah, that's Escalade.
There's no engine to cool.
Or, it's got to be like a useless feature.
Yeah, it's just more drag.
It's like
having
an exhaust.
Yeah, it's just more drag. And that makes me think, oh, they actually don't know what they're doing. But
no,
I mean,
and even if it was like in 5 years, they go, oh, when we're going to have a 2024 Triton Model H, and this is what its specs are going to be.
Mm.
Okay, who are you working with?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm just going through the specs now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so base model, $140,000. It just seems stupid. It just seems ridiculous. It's all so dreamy.
Oh, 1,500 horsepower is a thing that I'm reading about it now.
Yeah.
1,500? What is it, a Bugatti?
Yeah.
It's just about
1,000 horsepower for the base model. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I mean, you know, you can't...
Pretty sweet.
I think I'd believe it if I see a test car. You know, like Rimac. You know, no one really kind of believed Rimac when they came out with the C1, or when they revealed the idea of the C1, but then they were like, here's the car, look how cool it is. It actually goes. And they did the same thing with the C2. And we go, actually, you know what? I trust them, because they've got, you know, they kind of put everything on a plate and go, there you go. This is what we've got so far. This is just digital photos or renders, you know, and some numbers. I think that's something with the auto industry that we really need to watch out for with everything, because, you know, we find the press release, or we find an article and go, oh, that's true, because it's a press release or it's an article. Like all the 300 mile an hour cars, what was it last year? Every automaker was like, we're going to make a car that's going to go 300 mile an hour. Okay. There were like five of you who are going to be apparently producing the fastest car in the world. And I think one of them have done it. One of them's done it so far. And then even that was only in one direction. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Aim for the stars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, where's it going to end with stuff like top speed? Like 300 miles an hour seems like a good point to maybe just put it to bed. But in 20, 30, 40 years, are we going to be like, oh, Volkswagen, their new Golf goes 1,000 miles an hour? Is it like, is that going to be a thing?
Yeah.
It'll be like Cowboy Bebop. We'll be flying, landing in wherever we want, but then also flying into space.
Yes, yeah, exactly. There's
still cars on highways, but we are perfectly capable of flying wherever we need to go. Maybe the
new Vauxhall Astra. You can get to the moon and back in half an hour. Like, it's getting crazy. But I mean, I am excited to see where like battery technology does go. I mean, obviously, when it gets to the point, obviously, I think that's a load of rubbish, that car. But you know, when it can get to like ranges of 700 miles, you know, that's the game changer, isn't it? Because you can do long distance journeys, and you're not going to do probably 700 miles in one sitting, are you? That's just crazy. So you are going to be able to charge it up and all this sort of stuff. But then again, it depends on how fast the charging is as well, because if it's such a big battery that it takes 3 days to charge, that brings it straight back to being not workable again. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the technology kind of goes from there, really. But if they can achieve that, that's going to change the game. But I don't think they will somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that's holding back this country, England, or you know, the UK as a whole, is just the infrastructure. You know, I mean, for the majority of people, a Model 3, Nissan Leaf, they've all got perfect range. You know, they're all perfectly fine. the performance, who really cares about performance? You know, electric cars give you incredible torque. You know, the Leaf, would you say your Leaf is stupidly slow?
Hard opposite. When you take it out of that eco mode, you have so much fun. To me, it's my favorite sleeper because I don't feel like I'm ever going to get pulled over in a baby blue Nissan Leaf.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. Good point. Definitely. You know, and people, a lot of people are saying, you know, oh, well, wouldn't do without a V8 or, you know, I want a turbo. But I bet you they haven't felt the surge of an all-electric powertrain. That it's just incredible. And it's a completely different experience to anything fuel driven. But the thing
well, I've never
gone.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I've never, you know, experienced it personally. So it's, you know, it'd be interesting to hear how it's different and all this sort of stuff, because, you know, I've just never had the opportunity to be in a Tesla or a Leaf or anything. It's interesting.
Well, you
just
never know. Like, in London.
You should start from the bottom, I think, and really try one of the early generations of Leafs. And again, take it out of eco mode. Understand that it only goes 70 miles on a charge or something. And then once you experience that and realize, despite all the caveats that are true with those early models, it's still fantastic. And then in your mind, you go, oh, it's been a decade. And they've gotten, now the rate of improvement is online with like computers or televisions as opposed to steam engines.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
That's a good way of putting it. That's interesting.
It's amazing because I mean, you know, the first electric car I drove was the VW e-Golf. And, you know, it was kind of like the one electric car that personally I thought bridged the gap between petrol normal cars and electric cars, because it looked so similar. There was just, I think the only difference was like a blue strip across the front and the interior was the same. And it was all, you know, it didn't have a load of technology like, you know, autonomous driving and whatnot. There was nothing to really scare you, especially, you know, I know a lot of maybe the older generations quite intimidated by all the technology. And you put your foot down one of those, and because it's just a Golf, you know, I know the GTIs are really quick, but because it's just a Golf, it just, it really surprises you. But the one thing that's really holding this country back is just the charging network. You know, the government isn't putting the money into it. And because of that, people are never going to be able to trust that they'll be able to charge their car in time or get to, you know, get to where they're going. They'll always have that thing. If they're buying a car, they'll always go, yeah, but will I be able to charge it? Like I can just fill up a car. And, you know, it's the charging network and the education. People just don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, we were talking off camera about Zipcar and stuff like that. And they've got e-Golfs now available.
They're great.
So
nice.
That would be something interesting to try. I mean, I think it's like £6 an hour to rent it, which is insane, really, if you think about
it. Yeah, you should look it up and do it right after this. You should go take a $6 little whip around in an e-Golf.
Yes,
shall I look it up now? I've got the app on my phone. So we'll have a look. But for anyone who doesn't know, Zipcar is this kind of crazy thing where, for example, in London, these cars are parked all over London and you can reserve your car, whether it's a week in advance or a few minutes in advance. And the way you unlock your car is you get your phone, get the app up, and you pop it on the windshield like that. And it magically unlocks the car and the keys are in the glove box. And it's just the most insane kind of thing. But they've got all sorts now. It sort of started off with just having like Ford Fiestas and some sort of Hyundai i30, I think, or something along those lines. And now it's sort of really gone into the kind of e-Golf, as you say. But also you can get your Mercedes A-Class and Audi A3s and all that sort of stuff. But let's have a look and see what we've got, shall we? Select location, just all car types.
Well, you kind of look at that. Speaking of Hyundai, man, they've recently shown off their newest, that Prophecy. They're actually going to make that. I'm having a knock on the door.
Oh, my God.
this is like that thing, where, remember, where the guy's kids come running in the room?
Yes, and they get dragged out.
Oh, don't worry about it, man. I fixed it.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Dude.
The The e-Golf is £9 per hour, sorry.
£9.
Still not bad, though, is it?
Still not bad. Because that's a good car. No. Those are great cars.
I'll have to give it a go. There's one a 7-minute walk away from here right now.
Oh, do it. Do it. Definitely do it.
Might have to be done.
That's great. An even shorter run.
Yeah, that's it.
I should have been faster than you guys, my bad.
No worries. No worries. What are we saying?
The prophecy. Hyundai prophecy.
Yeah.
And the 45. I love this trend of automakers showing these outlandish concepts. And ooh. I was conditioned to expect if you show me a concept, I'll never see that. So
yeah.
Why are you showing me these concepts? And then lately, I believe it's because of EVs having these skate motor trains that you can just plop new bodies on top of. They're like, yeah, why not? This got hot reception. And I think that started with the Cybertruck.
Yeah. I think manufacturers they've suddenly seen that, oh, actually, you know what? We can create these crazy designs. And as long as they get enough people liking them, I mean, the prophecy looks incredible. And so does the 45. But it's suddenly gone, oh, actually, you know what? Rules don't apply anymore. We can do whatever we want. And I love that.
Totally. Definitely. With the Cybertruck, you know, I'm sure everyone did, but when I first saw the photos of it, I was like, well, that's a joke. You know, it's not going to be a real car, but it is. It is. And it's, you know, I can't wait to see them. And it'll be one of those things. Like, do you remember that kind of period of time where Tesla was sort of this thing you were hearing about and you got it more over in the States than you did in the UK? And then suddenly, like, bang, they were just everywhere. Yeah. And I can imagine that with Cybertrucks, they'll be the new, you know, Nissan Juke or whatever, like the new 4x4 everyone's driving. But I can't wait to see one in the flesh and just sort of see what it's like on the interior as well and all this sort of stuff. There's all sorts of, like, I mean, I'm not too in tune with the Cybertruck, really. I mean, I'm really interested by it, but you hear so much news about it, you're just not sure what to take as truth and not. Like, apparently it's bulletproof. What's that?
Is it bulletproof? Yeah. Yeah, there was a little bit of conjecture there because, you know, they have such a short news cycle. Right. By that, I mean like adversarial news cycle, which is getting some opposition now. But he said that the body, the cold rolled steel body, could take a 9mm bullet. Granted, that's not an AK-47 bullet. And then, almost without skipping a breath, he goes in to talk about how the glass is super strong glass and that you could throw a metal ball at it. We all know how that went.
Yeah.
People combined the two and started saying the whole thing was bulletproof. No, it's just the steel's pretty hard.
Yeah.
You can still shoot through the glass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the thing is as well, you know, I can't remember what they call it. They have a specific name for the glass, don't they? But I was reading up on it and, you know, loads of professionals looked at it and went, it's supposed to do that. It's supposed to take the impact of the bullet and spread it across the glass. And that's why it smashed. It's designed to do that. Look at normal bulletproof glass on like government limos. If it gets shot, it smashes, but it doesn't go through. And that's the difference.
No.
It Which doesn't just also, though, off, importantly, not it? The glass.
Sorry. Oh, really?
Really? I didn't know that.
No, I don't know if something was lost in translation. I mean, the glass isn't supposedly bulletproof. The steel is.
Yeah.
But then the glass is like, they were calling the glass like metal glass or something. They had they didn't have a crazy name for it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they said it was like test right before they wheeled it out so that weakened it and it had hairline fractures or something. Armored glass. But yeah, throw a big metal bearing like that at a regular car windshield.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It'll cause some damage.
In America, you get trucks get broken into very regularly because people assume that they'll have a gun. So to me, if you have sentry mode and that kind of glass, might be better for keeping your gun safe or not getting broken into if you don't have a gun regardless.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of an interesting angle.
Yeah.
Definitely. What's sentry mode?
So sentry mode is in all the Teslas right now where when you walk away, it uses all of the cameras that are built in for, you name it, every self-driving and all that stuff to act as a security system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are numbers levels, sort of incident. So you've got like it kind of it's basically to be used as a deterrent, but also to make it known that someone's messing with the car. So I think the first level I can't remember, they all have names, but the first level is basically it's watching you. The second level, if you go close to it and touch it or like maybe lean on it, then I think the lights flash. And then if you go even further and start to really mess with the car, it'll turn on the media, you know, the music and everything will go full volume and the lights will go crazy. But a lot of people are saying that actually that draws the wrong attention. And when the cars start doing that, they, you know, it's more likely to be seen by people and then damaged. So I think recently people have asked, Elon Musk specifically, because he's so active on Twitter, to make it like to make them a silent version, and he's actually going to do it. It's incredible. How often do you hear of a CEO specifically taking demands from the customer? I know a lot of people don't like Elon Musk, but you've got to give him that. Like, he is one hell of a, I don't know, he's just innovated the whole process of owning a business.
He's incredible. I think he's great. I mean, I watched the podcast with Joe Rogan and Elon Musk. Yeah. And, you know, it's just like, he's almost like kind of weirdly like robotic with how he sort of comes across. I don't know if you've noticed that, but like he's very analytical, I think. So like you'll ask him a question and he'll sort of sit there for like a good 30 seconds silently and just sort of work out what he wants to say. And then it sort of shows almost his genius, in my opinion, I guess. Yeah. But you know, you're talking about the Tesla and stuff, there's so many sort of nooks and crannies almost in what, like, a lot of the consumers don't have any idea that their Tesla can do. You know, he's talking about how if you fall asleep at the wheel, it will take over and it will slowly pull you over, and then it will sort of start speaking to you to wake you up and all these crazy stuff. And didn't they not realize ludicrous mode was a thing for a little while or something, or that got was an update really? Or something. I can't remember. I don't know. I mean, I'm just talking from my memory of watching this podcast months ago. But I mean, he's just an incredible
guy. They're always updating.
Yeah. Are they? It's a bit like a phone, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, so it's over the air updates, OTA updates. And they will just, because the car already has the hardware, and it's already got everything built into it, they can just basically turn things on. If they go, you know, if they think they've now perfected a piece of software, they'll just go upload and the car can now do something crazy or whatever. Well, you know, like read
that's
red
so interesting.
Lights. It's
yeah, random. Exactly.
It's
and well, I was writing an article about the driverless taxis he's promised by the end of the year or whatever. And that mentioned in the, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Yeah,
but, I don't know. They were talking about how when the self-driving technology is available, it will just, it will just update to your Tesla, you know, and it's not like you get with an iPhone where they add a new feature and most times you have to buy the new phone to get it, which they could have easily done. It's actually, you know, they've sort of prepared the cars for that eventuality and the car will continue to grow as the brand does, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they can even improve range and performance. It's ridiculous. And there's been, you know, countless times where they've just gone, here's another 10 miles of range because they've got, you know, they've made the powertrain more efficient in some way or, you know, whatever. But, it's incredible. It's incredible.
A lot of
they can do.
They've been testing, like, the batteries. And this is a big thing between the Taycan and the Model S and the Tesla range is when you are putting a battery pack together, you don't necessarily want people to drain the battery or charge it fully because that's what's bad for lithium ion batteries. So they use around 20% dead space in the pack so that when you charge it or rapid charge it all the way, it has a little buffer zone. And those cells might be disabled for later use. In case you have cells go bad, they can just kind of software plug in other good cells. The Taycan does it a little bit more conservatively. So that's why they tout, like, you can run it hard, put it up wet, back and forth, back and forth. They've had a big buffer. And because of that, they have lower range. But now these Teslas, like, they still have a buffer there. And when they have to evacuate, say, a forest fire or a hurricane, they can over the air say, let's not worry so much about that buffer. Let's let people get away.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's amazing. That's awesome, isn't it? I can't believe that. It's insane. It's, I mean, it's just so clever. They are incredibly clever cars, and I would love to have one day. And it's just, I like the idea of instead of my sat-nav screen being like this, I want it like a massive iPad. And apparently, once you've owned one and you've gotten used to that, getting into a normal car with your kind of small, few-inch sort of sat-nav screen. It just apparently feels horrible. Apparently it completely changes the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they were the first company. Sorry, go on.
I'm sorry we're working with this delay. Would you guys rather have a vehicle, though, that no one else you knew personally had?
Yes.
Because I think that's what's holding back Tesla right now is every day I see Model 3s. And when the Y comes out, it'll dilute it. But I don't know if I'm so into having the longer four-door version or the chunkier version of the car that I see everybody have. And the Cybertruck, for me, represents something controversial enough that at least I would know I'd be getting under some people's skin with a really cool and different car. But if the parking lot was full of them, would you cancel your subscription? Or
it loses its magic a bit, doesn't it, if you're constantly seeing them? I found that with in the UK, for sure, with the Jaguar F-Pace, the 4x4. Mm-hmm. When it first got released, I thought, that is one of my favorite sort of SUVs out at the moment. But now, literally, you just see them everywhere. Like, they're just everywhere. And it kind of does lose its magic, doesn't it? Like, I completely get what you're saying. So, yeah, I think I'd rather something a little different that you don't see 10 times whenever you get in your car, you see the same car.
Yeah, right? definitely. Yeah, I think something else that is putting off a lot of potential Tesla customers is the fact that the Tesla fan base are really, really big fans. Like, they will, it's Tesla or nothing to quite a few people. And I think, like Chris Harris from Top Gear, he said he was going to buy a Model 3, but he couldn't get over the fact, he knew for a fact, when he went to charge, when he would go to charge his car, he'd be bombarded by people just going, it's the best car you've ever driven, isn't it? And he's like, no, no, it's great, but it's not the best. But anyway, we've got just over 9 minutes left, so we really need to get to the bit. I know it's gone so quickly.
It has.
It's gone ridiculously fast. We need to get to the big news that everyone's waiting for, the Grand Tour. News that is going to get the views. That's how I'm going to refer to it from now on.
With the Grand Tour, I mean, Clarkson said, didn't he, they're about 2 weeks away. Technically, they think they could get it finished in 2 weeks. It was sort of 94% done, I think is what he said. And then it's ready for Amazon, and then it's probably going to have its post-production and all that kind of stuff done to it. So you could say at least a month, month and a half away. But we noticed today, didn't we, that a certain Mr. Willman interview had been taken down off DriveTribe, which could mean one of two things, right? It could either mean it's closer than we expect or further away. So what do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, it could have been taken down for a number of reasons. They might just want to delay everything. Maybe they've got some good videos going out and they just want to delay, to make the most out of what they've got at the moment. Or one of them has said something, and it could be that Amazon's gone, you know, actually, can you not say that now? We kind of, maybe the news they've actually given us is wrong, and Amazon's wanting to do it much later, or maybe, you know. Maybe they've figured out that they can send off what they've got at the moment and Amazon's happy with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But something's definitely amiss.
It seemed like it was, DriveTribe is obviously a thing from, I think it's Jeremy Clarkson started DriveTribe, didn't he? And, you know, he probably didn't have much permission to discuss the release date. You know, it's like, you know, there's many executives and all this sort of stuff over at Amazon who will make decisions based on, you know, when streaming numbers, like, you can imagine if they think, right, lockdowns are going to finish, you know, in the next however many months or whatever, you know, streaming numbers may drop significantly. So they might think, right, well, let's wait until the winter when everyone's back inside and stuff like this. There's so many different factors you've got to consider. But I guess the pertinent point is we don't know.
And
they were pretty conservative too. They went ahead and said, like, we will be done in 2 to 3 weeks, but Amazon could have it for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So if they were on the early side of that, then why would they take it down? Because it's such a wide window.
Yeah. And they'd want to promote it. You know, can you imagine if they let out that information and websites like us get a hold of it? How many clicks? You know, so many people would see that news and be so excited, and they'd be waiting on Amazon like this. They'd just be like waiting with a control in hand. So I think they're going to push it back. I wonder if they're going to push it back till Christmas, because it's going to be a special episode. You know, they're only doing two episodes both being specials this season, I have a horrible feeling they're going to push it back to Christmas. So it can be another watch with your family moment.
Yeah.
I could see summer.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's Madagascar, which I like. Can we say that? Have no impression of Madagascar whatsoever, really. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, there's a cartoon that was kind of poorly made, I'll say. But are there even roads in Madagascar? Is there a city in Madagascar?
Yeah, I don't know. Have you seen the cars they're using?
No, I don't think so.
So we did an article 6 months ago, and they're using three modified cars. I'm going to talk really quickly because we've got 6 minutes left. Mm-hmm. They're using, what is it? I think they're using an Aerial Nomad with big off-road tires, a Bentley GT Continental with Caterpillar tracks, and one more. Is it a Ford Focus RS with something? Something, a Ford Focus. Oh, no, it's Ford Focus RS with Caterpillar tracks and a Bentley GT Continental with massive off-road tires. So they're going off-road.
So whose car is who? Do we know? Should we guess?
Clarkson's the Bentley.
Yeah.
Hammond is the Aerial Nomad.
Probably, right?
And
May stuck with the Ford.
May's the Ford. Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. But if the Ford has Caterpillar tracks, I would guess it'd be Hammond. That seems like a Hammond kind of thing. May would not put Caterpillar tracks on something.
That's a good point.
No. I have to find what out. What would we be driving? Like, I'd personally like to take the Bentley, but I'm sure I'd be fighting both of you off.
I'd probably go Nomad. I like the Nomad. I think it's cool.
That's fine. I'd take the tracks. I was unaware that Madagascar even had roads. So if I had to roll the dice.
I don't know. Let us know in the comments what you'd be driving. God, I hate myself. It's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it. A lot of people, I wonder if they're losing a lot of viewers because people are waiting so long. I wonder if people are just going, actually, you know what? I've lived this long without it. I can do without it.
To be honest, I'd agree. I mean, I remember when they said they were doing like the specials, you know, a lot of people, I think I was aware there'd be sort of, you know, a few a year. But I think a lot of people were like, when's the next episode on this week? You know, a week after Seaman come out. And I think they need to sort of clarify a little bit because people are getting bored. Obviously, I mean, there's not a lot of people watching like Top Gear really, I don't think, but I mean it is out, it got new presenters, they're still doing the same kind of fun antics and stuff like that, so
I'm quite enjoying it.
I've not seen it, but I sort of plan on having a big binge watch of it when the season's finished.
I think we've talked about this before, but I'm a massive fan of Chris Harris. Don't really Chris care Harris, about the other two, but Chris Harris does it for me.
I think the other two just bring a bit of comedic value in a way. You've got Freddie Flintoff from like League of Their Own, obviously cricket, and then Paddy McGuinness for all his various antics and stuff. Like it's more entertainment, and then Chris is your expert,
definitely
sort of thing.
But because no one does any car reviews except for Chris.
Oh really?
Yeah, which I quite like. Except for the last episode, I think Paddy reviewed. I can't remember what it was. Maybe a Ferrari of some sort. But it was a supercar, but weird. Mm. But obviously, he doesn't know what to talk about. So he's like, Chris Harris told me to say this.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's quite good. I've enjoyed it. And I didn't expect to enjoy it because I'm not such a fan of Paddy or Freddie. But they actually work really well, I think. I can imagine. Yeah.
So in the same way that the Grand Tour, we can assume, no longer is allowed to do tents and car review kind of things, the typical... Can the new Top Gear presenters do crazy road trips?
Yes, they can. They've done some incredible road trips. Absolutely. Mm. I'm gonna say it. I actually prefer the Top Gear special to Seaman. And
really,
I shouldn't say that because I get a lot of my income from saying how good the Grand Tour is. but I really liked it.
Seaman wasn't cars, was it? So
boats.
That's the reason you tune in is for cars, right?
So, yeah, I loved Seaman.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought that was fun. I like that part of the world.
It was fun. I'm
kind of into boats, you know?
Yep. Steven.
Yeah. Take all the semen I can get, dude. They could give me another episode of Full of Semen.
Just semen and three old guys.
Yeah, dude.
Nah, it was funny. We've got less than a minute. I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening to the GTN podcast. Catch us at some point when we do it again. Please follow us on social media. Please follow us individually. We shall talk to you next week. See you then.
See ya.
Bye.